Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Guys Gabin Gridiron. I'm Josh McSwain. AJ and I were unable to record together this week, so we have decided to give three things that caught our eye in week two separately, and we'll play them both for you and give our week three selections. So here are three things that caught my eye from week two. Number one, the AFC South is absolutely dreadful. It's just so bad. Through 2 weeks, the only team with a win is the Jaguars, and it was against a divisional opponent. I mean, the Jaguars probably have looked the best in this quartet over the first 2 weeks, which is not saying much. They had a close loss in Washington that they kind of blew at the end. Then they came home and they dominated the Colts this past week, winning their eighth straight in Jacksonville in the series between the two teams. So where exactly does this leave the whole division right now? Jaguars, are they the favorites? I don't know, it's hard to say. They sure have a lot of talent. They've always spent pretty big on free agents. Christian Kirk seems to be paying off so far, but ultimately, is this going to continue throughout the whole season? I don't know yet. Trevor Lawrence has looked much better than last year. Offensive line looks improved. Just overall, this unit looks a lot better under Doug Peterson. Although, considering where they were last year and the absolute chaos that was the short reign of Urban Meyer, wouldn't expect a lot different. But to the Colts, though, they looked so bad, and Matt Ryan has just looked washed through the first couple weeks. The only thing that gives me some pause is that Ryan's very experienced, and he might bounce back because he's adjusting to a new team and all. But there is not a lot of time, and Jonathan Taylor absolutely got bottled up against Jacksonville. Not having Michael Pittman there really made a difference, though. You have to admit that. Because there was almost no threat in the passing game for the Jaguars to respect, and they just hemmed in Taylor all day. There are some good pieces on defense for the Colts, but an average offensive line, below average receivers. What is Matt Ryan going to be? This team will go how Ryan goes. If Ryan can bounce back, they can still contend for the division. If not, it's over. Now we come to the Texans, team that played tough in Denver but ultimately fell 16-9. Davis Mills didn't have a great day, but it's a tough Broncos defense you're going against. Kind of expect that. Team still needs to establish a weapon outside of Brandon Cooks. That much is for sure. But we've seen through 2 weeks, Lovie Smith will have this team playing respectably on defense. And for a rebuilding team, it's really just about all you can ask for. Now we come to the Titans, who look like they might be in the most trouble. The Titans have no playmakers on the outside anymore. Derrick Henry, I was afraid he was going to be absolutely finished. And through 2 weeks, it certainly looks like he is. Things got so bad in Buffalo that Malik Willis came in the second half in relief of Ryan Tannehill, who might simply be done as well. So if the Titans and Colts quarterbacks are finished, which through 2 weeks, decent signs they are, but I mean, it is still early. This might be the Jaguars' division to lose. They look like a prime candidate to go worst to first. It seems like we say that almost every year. This time, it could be for real. Another thing that caught my eye in week two was the Buccaneers' defense. There have been some departures. JPP was gone, but they still have quite a few playmakers. In Lavonte David, you got Devin White, got Vita Vea, and of course Shaq Barrett. You got a lot of guys in that front seven that could honestly rival just about any in the league. And then the secondary, there's been a lot of turnover, but they still are playing well. Of course, Antoine Winfield Jr. is still there, and he's excellent. But then Mike Edwards had a pick six. This team just absolutely bottled up the Saints in the Superdome. making famous Jameis throw 3 interceptions. Time to put some respect on that name of the Buccaneers defense. This team's not going anywhere, even though Brady really struggled in the Superdome against the team that has been kind of his kryptonite since joining the Bucs. Aside for that one playoff game, had been his kryptonite, that shut him out last year. Even with practically no offensive line, they still got it done, so yeah. Bucs defense might be the top priority now, but obviously with Brady never count him out. They faced a very interesting test this coming week against the Green Bay Packers, which will be without Mike Evans, who got into it with Marshawn Lattimore, something we all remember. There's just a lot of bad blood between the Bucs and the Saints, and it's fairly easy to see why. Played each other for years, and Lattimore and Evans have gone back and forth and back and forth. We've got the Jameis Winston angle. Very entertaining games, that much is for sure. Third thing that has really caught my eye is the NFC East looked significantly better so far. Philadelphia, I had them the number 2 seed in the NFC coming in. I really liked what they were doing, getting a big-time playmaker in A.J. Brown. Jalen Hurts is getting it done with his legs, showing that he can air it out as well at times. Got Miles Sanders, and just, they got a stable of running backs up there in Philadelphia. Gonna keep it going. Great job by the Cowboys this week, putting together a winning performance in the home game against Cincinnati. Think most people thought the Bengals were gonna bounce back, but it didn't happen. Once again, the Bengals' offensive line was terrible. Just, as Charles Barkley would say, terrible. 13 sacks for Joe Burrow through 2 weeks. That's just not going to get it done. But yeah, good job on the Cowboys staying focused. I told you all, Cooper Rush was good enough. Now it's sounding like Dak could be back within a month of the injury. They're saying sooner, but I'm still thinking it's going to be week 6. Maybe week 5 if I'm being really optimistic. But I think week 4 is too optimistic. I'll believe it when I see it. Giants are 2-0, pulled out 2 close games. Great job by Brian Daboll. He's getting that team going in the right direction. And then Carson Wentz in Washington. Speaking about the Colts earlier, I told you all that Carson Wentz was not the problem with the Colts last year. Guy threw 27 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. And yeah, there were some games he didn't throw for much more than 200 or even a little under 200 yards, but I mean, he's not a superstar, but he's a solid quarterback. And he's showing it again now in Washington. He's got some playmakers with Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, of course Terry McLaurin. Now the numbers are going back up. Meanwhile, the Colts are still just looking lost trying to figure it out. They're just got a rotating door at quarterback. Matt Ryan, good luck. I hope he's still got something left. But anyways, I thought Washington was going to be solid this season. Once they get Chase Young back, I think they're going to be even better. I think they're going to be a contender late into the season for a wild card spot. So that wraps up my 3 points for this week.
All right, Tex. You want to know what the theme was for week 2 of 2022? That is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, do not let off the gas. It was absolutely disgraceful. Look at what the Ravens did. They let their foot off the gas, and look what happened. They got swamped. Look at what happened to, the Raiders. Yeah. 20-0 halftime, you let Kyler Murray stomp on you? What are you doing? And then if you just look at the Bills and the Eagles, they're just dominant all game long. It was a no contest. You just looked at it. Like, if you looked at the Bills, they're elite for a reason. They're a juggernaut for a reason. And Kirk Cousins and the new head coach and play calling system, they all brown their pants at the same time. In primetime, mind you. Shocking. Eh, not really. But really, there's a couple of things to point out here, and that is the Colts, what the hell are you and why are you a disgrace? Why are you a complete disgrace? Why are you from a win now team to master the tank job? Listen, the fact that it is 2022 and we're still talking about Andrew Luck, that's sad. It really is sad. That's like the Charger fans complained about LaDainian Tomlinson. It's inevitable. It happens. Move on. This is an absolute joke. You didn't feed Jonathan Taylor the rock. You lost your rhythm. And Matt Ryan, I'm really starting to think that you're part of the problem. I really am. It's very unfortunate because I've had a lot of respect for Matt Ryan for many years. I said, this guy is on the way of having a Hall of Fame career. But ever since you look past that Super Bowl, I know he got paid that big contract. But look at him now. He's foolish. It's an absolute joke. It's terrible. It really is. And speaking of horrible and speaking of jokes, Russell Wilson. Two teams that are absolutely garbage on paper. You lost the first one, didn't even commit to a game-winning drive, and what was one of the worst teams in the league on paper? You only won by a touchdown, and you just were not dominant in there. You had many chances to succeed, and look what you did. You really didn't do much. It's an absolute disgrace. Seriously now. If you just look at just where they are, how many times did you have to punt? Really? Do you trust the ball in Russ's hands right now? Do you? Because right now I don't. That's all got seriousness. I hate saying it. But you come off as so pompous. You come off as such an arrogant ass to perform at that low of a level. Against Houston, a defense that's still trying to figure itself out. Pass rush, not that great outside of Jonathan Greenard, in my opinion. Your passer rating is 66.5. 219 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Is that really what a $40 million quarterback is supposed to perform against a bad team? I know that team has weapons. I understand what's going on. Jerry Jeudy hurt again, which is unfortunate because I will always remember that class. I really will. And a lot of people think Jerry Jeudy was the best in that class. Obviously, now the best in that class is clearly Justin Jefferson, but moving on. This Broncos team needs to figure it out. They do. Because it's at that level where it's just flat out disgraceful. You know who they're going to be playing next week? I'll tell you. They're going to be facing the 49ers at home, Sunday Night Football. And I'm going to be getting to the 49ers in just a moment. But offensively and defensively, I'm just not sure if I feel confident if I'm a Broncos fan. My sister's a Broncos fan. I know a good buddy of mine that's a Broncos fan. And right now, they're both worried. And for good reason. Because you didn't trade away the world to have a quarterback play mediocre. This isn't Jared Goff. This is Russell Wilson. Not too long ago, some people think a top five, worse, a top 10. Right now, he's playing like a top 20. Fix it, dude. I don't care whatever you got to do, fix it. And now, the pain of this week, Trey Lance. And I know, Tex, you didn't want to speak into it too much, but it sucks because in the last 5 years, the man has played a total of five games. It's truly awful. It really is. Three pass attempts, 30 yards, and that's going to be the wrap-up of this season. Now, the good thing is he had successful ankle surgery, and he's supposed to be back for 2023 training camp. So we're told it was a broken ankle and it was some sort of ligament issue. So he's going to be back. But again, for the 49er fans that are saying, I don't care. Third round pick would do it for me. I'd take a fifth round pick, depending on who it is. He dodged a bullet. John Lynch was smart. He knew what he had. He just was like, hey, if the price is right. And look at him now. He's having Jimmy Garoppolo back at the helm operating this offense. And again, I say that he's more handsome and talented. 13 passes completed out of a possible 21. 154 yards, one touchdown, no picks. On the ground, four carries, 5 yards, one of them for a touchdown. But it doesn't matter because when he is behind center, we know he's not elite. We know he's not great. But is he good? I know that we've talked a lot of junk about Jimmy G and myself included. But I'm just at the point now where I'm just going to be eating my own crow and just say, you know what? Jimmy G, to me, the G in Jimmy G means good. And that's okay. Because imagine any other team saying, hey, you know what? We're going to sell for Jimmy Garoppolo. He won a lot of games. It's respectable. This isn't Geno Smith. This isn't Drew Lock. This isn't Driscoll. It's not any of those type of guys. This isn't Sam Bradford. I could say Jacoby Brissett, but well, that seems to be working out a little bit. In fact, the fact that he's made every single game very close. How will he do against the Steelers? I don't know.
Here is Josh's picks for week three. On Thursday, we're going to start with a divisional matchup between the Steelers and the Browns. The Steelers are in a very odd place right now because so far their offense with Trubisky under center has been putrid. They only managed 6 points against the Bengals that weren't off turnovers. Then they finally managed to sniff the end zone against the Patriots with a touchdown pass to Pat Freiermuth. This offensive line is subpar. Trubisky is under some pressure, but he's also just being limited by the play calling of Matt Canada. By the end of the game against the Pats, the home fans were calling for Kenny Pickett, but I just don't think Pickett would be all that much better when you got play calling that seems to be as though it's not to lose the game. So perhaps Pickett would be the better player, but I just don't think we would see a ton of impact early on. Meanwhile, you've got the Browns who blew it against the Jets last week. How are they going to bounce back from just utterly screwing it up? I think they're going to come out mad and be ready to go. I think Myles Garrett could have another big game against Dan Moore, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And once again, Browns running game can carry the day. Give me a Browns win on Thursday night. On Sunday, we have the Texans going to the Windy City to take on the Bears. Two teams with second-year quarterbacks that are still finding their way. Justin Fields has not looked very impressive so far. He's getting some production on the ground, but through the air has presented little threat, and I kind of like what Lovie Smith's been doing with this Texans defense. I think Mills will have a solid day. Good enough. I got the Texans in an upset. Next up, we got the Raiders going to Nashville to take on the Titans. Two 0-2 teams really looking for a win. For the Titans, how will Vrabel get this team to bounce back after a demoralizing defeat in Buffalo? They're also coming off a short week, and the Raiders, I think, are just overall a better team, though the coaching would favor the Titans. It's just for the Titans, where are the plays going to come from on offense? I just don't see anything right now. At least we know the Raiders have Devontae Adams. So even on the road, I'm going to go with the Raiders. Next up, we got the Chiefs going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Home opener for Indy, I don't think it goes well. Mahomes is just absolutely crushing it right now. So give me the Chiefs to go to 3-0. Next up, game of the week, we got the 2-0 Bills at the 2-0 Dolphins. Bills are going to be on the road coming off a short week. I think that gives the Dolphins a chance in this game. I feel silly having not picked the Dolphins the first 2 weeks. And I probably would pick them against any other team this week, but just knowing how good the Bills have played through 2 weeks, I can't pull the trigger on an upset. Give me the Bills. Next up, an NFC North showdown in Minneapolis between the Lions and the Vikings. I'm a fan of what the Lions are doing right now. Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown have become a productive duo. But in this instance, I think I'm going to go with the home team and pick the Vikings. Next up, the Ravens, who were shocked at the end by the Dolphins, look for redemption as they take on the New England Patriots in Boston. I still just don't really believe in the Patriots offense right now, so give me the Ravens. I think they're going to come out mad and take this game. Next up, the 0-2 Bengals against the surprising 1-1 Jets in the Big Apple. I feel silly doing this a third time, but give me the Bengals. Terrible offensive line and all. I think desperation is going to set in, and they're going to find a way to get it done. Next up, we got the Eagles, who are flying really high, going against the Commanders in the nation's capital. Carson Wentz plays his old team, but I got the Eagles in this game. Their offense is just rolling right now, and if Antonio Gibson does have a big day, which I think is possible, I would give Washington a chance. I think this is going to be close. Next up, an NFC South showdown between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. This is going to be a much-needed victory for Carolina. Matt Rule's already starting to feel the pressure. How good is Jameis Winston going to be with his back issue right now? I just am not really sure. I would be picking the Panthers for a third straight week, and I just don't feel like it. So, give me the Saints. Next up, we got Jacksonville going to the Pacific Coast, taking on the LA Chargers. I like what the Jags are doing right now. James Robinson's having a great year so far, but this Chargers team, they've had more rest, and I think they're going to take this game. Next up, we got the Rams at the Cardinals. Kyler Murray pulled off a heroic comeback at the very end against the Raiders this past week. Don't think it happens again this week, even though the Rams have not been very impressive through two games. I still think they get it done. Next up, Battle of the Birds, as Atlanta goes to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Atlanta nearly pulled off the upset each of the first 2 weeks. Meanwhile, after pulling off the upset in week one, the Seahawks came back down to earth in week two. So I'm going to go with the Falcons in this game. Next up, we got a battle of the Bays between the Packers and the Buccaneers. I talked about the Bucs defense earlier. Got to put some respect on them. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 7 times through the first 2 weeks. I'm not picking against Tom Brady again. Give me the Bucs. In the Sunday nightcap, we've got the Broncos hosting the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo is back under center for the 49ers against a guy he's seen many times before in Russell Wilson. Broncos offense has looked pedestrian through 2 games, and I think this will be close. But in Mile High, I'm going to go with the Broncos. Now we got Monday Night Football as the Cowboys and Cooper Rush go into the Big Apple to take on Daniel Jones and the Giants. Giants are 2-0. Yeah, you can argue that opponents were mediocre. And they were games that had to be pulled out at the last minute. But you could say the same thing about the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys' offensive line is going to be a huge thing coming into this game. How is that unit going to be able to work? The Giants don't have the greatest front, but I think it is a little bit underrated, and I think underneath the bright lights, I got Saquon Barkley shining and the Giants pulling off the 3rd straight win to open the season. So those are my week 3 selections. Now we will take you to AJ's week 3 selections.
Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime. Don't get me started. Steelers at Browns. This time around, I know that TJ Watt is going to be missing a lot of time. I'm still going to take the Steelers. Offensively, I still think they have to figure it out. But with a lot of guys on the Browns banged up, including Javion Clowney, that is not going to be in this game. Give me the Steelers on this. I hope that the offense is going to be able to get a pep in their step and make them 2-1. And if the Browns somehow make this out and become 2-1, wow. Expectations are already met. Because some people said that they were going to be winless without Deshaun. Well, we have no idea what the ceiling is of Jacoby Brissett, a.k.a. Kobe Biscuit. We got the Saints and the Panthers. I think this is simple. Give me Saints. The Panthers have a lot of things to figure out. And I think offensively, they just look awkward. It's still an awkward transition phase. I'm not sure if it's completely all on Baker, but if you look at the Giants and the way that they adjusted the second half, the Panthers have a ton of work to do. You can't just put all on Christian McCaffrey. I think Baker's got to throw a better ball, and the offensive line still isn't great. Texans at Bears. Ooh. You know, I want to say Bears on this one. Sorry to Tex. And the reason I say that is because I think defensively the Bears are much better. And I think this is when Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney are finally going to just explode to where they need to be. I'm hoping that Darnell Mooney is going to get about 70 yards in a touch, and Justin Fields, he should feel more comfortable in the pocket, and I expect Montgomery and possibly Khalil Herbert to have decent games behind the backfield. Chiefs at Colts. I know I'm a Chiefs fan, baby, but the Colts, they look like they got nothing right now. I mean, am I going to be concerned about Jonathan Taylor? Absolutely. The Chiefs run defense, especially with Willie Gay being suspended. Absolutely, I'm afraid of the rush. But Matt Ryan in the air right now, Captain Two, airport to Captain Two, what's going on? This is Matt Ryan here, sir. I cannot touch down. Prove me wrong, Matt Ryan. I put some respect on the name, but right now it's on pause. Next. Bills at Dolphins. Ooh. Both 2-0 teams. I think this is simply just going to go Buffalo because, again, these are the best back-to-back games I've seen in a while to start off a year. So it's Bills until proven otherwise. No offense to Dolphin fans, but Buffalo is just elite right now, and the Dolphins are still trying to get to elite level. Next, Lions at Vikings. Ooh. Even with the new changes, I still want to know how Justin Jefferson is going to be stopped against the Lions. So I'm going to take Vikings at this one, and plus it's at 1 o'clock, not prime time. Next, Ravens at Patriots. Wow. Is Bill Belichick going to be able to go against one of the best Russian? Well, is Bill Belichick, one of the best head coaches of all time, going to be able to play against Lamar with this team? If you had Brady, I'd say yes. Mac Jones, some decent struggles. I'm going to go Ravens on this one. But again, Ravens, this is Bill Belichick. Don't take your foot off the gas. Next. Ooh, who they Bengals versus the Jets. Another 1 o'clock game. Ooh. I'm stumped. Especially since the Jets defense looks good. Offensively, did you know? And this is the part that shocks me. I said that it's very bad, the fact that the players are saying that Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson, it looks like the offense is the same no matter who's at quarterback. I said that was bad at first. But guess what? Against the Browns, Joe Flacco put up his first game-winning drive in 6 years. Is he back? I don't But right now, it just seems like the Bengals' magic is disappearing. Am I scared about Sauce Gardner covering Ja'Marr Chase? You bet your ass I am. But I probably am going to bite this, but I'm glad I'm not a betting guy in these unsure games, but give me Jets. Next, we got the 0-2 Raiders and the 0-2 Titans. Oh boy. This is the Week 3 Doozy Bowl. Sheesh. Wow. I'm just going to go Raiders on this one because the Tennessee offense looks like it's an absolute dumpster fire. Derrick Henry hasn't been able to do anything much. Tannehill looks awkward and looks like he's back in Miami. They look like a total disaster and a complete disappointment. And Mike Vrabel's going to have to figure it out, otherwise he might be fired. Yeah, give me Raiders. Last 1 o'clock game. 2-0 Eagles at the 1-1 Washington Commanders. Well, if you just go both sides of the ball, I think this is an Eagles game. I think that's simply put, just offensively, defensively, Washington's got to do a whole lot, and I don't think they're ready for it. Next. Both 1-1, the Jags and the Chargers. Jags at Chargers. I think this is going to end up to whether if Justin Herbert starts. Even then, it's just going to be tough. I'm going to go Chargers on this one. And if you have Chargers defense against the Jags, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be a real test for Trevor Lawrence. He's going to have a very good secondary. All the guys in the secondary are going to be healthy. And plus, that pass rush is just great. Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa are going to be very acquainted with Trevor Lawrence, as his running backs, because if you've seen Travis Etienne take a couple of hits this year, wow, that guy knows how to take shots. He reminds me of Darren Sproles so much. All right, next. Rams at Cardinals. These are both teams that good on paper, but they both are still trying to figure it out. Now, I know I talked a lot of smack about K1 and Call of Duty being out, but that aside, I'm still going to take Rams. I'm just going with the better offense. Plus, Rams versus Cardinals, even if they're both playing well, it's still usually a Rams game. All right, next, we got the Battle of the Birds, Falcons at Seahawks. The Falcons gave the Rams a good run for their money, but I still don't think they're at that level yet. The defense, I still think, needs a little bit of work. Shot in the dark, too, because I don't think the Falcons are in tank mode. But give me the Seahawks here. Okay. What I think is going to be probably, in my opinion, the most anticipated game of the week, Packers at Buccaneers. Now, every time you play Brady at home, you get concerned. But then when you have no Godwin, Evans suspended because the suspension was upheld. Brady doesn't have Gronkowski, of course. So the big wide receiver name for this week is Cole Beasley that was signed on the practice squad early this week. Cole Beasley and Scotty Miller. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a defense game. The defense is still great. The wide receivers on this Packers team still hasn't shown me what they can do. I'm going to go Buccaneers because of the defense. I've touched up on this a little bit earlier in the show, but 49ers at Broncos for Sunday night. And give me the Niners. I don't care if it's Russell. I don't care who it is. I don't care who's at the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. We know it's Jimmy G, the handsome one. Jimmy Good against the Broncos. Russell, until you could show me something, and this defense isn't going to lay down for you. I know you've seen them a lot, but they're not going to lay down for you. Are you actually going to show me something, or are you going to tell the ownership of Denver that they made the worst new decision of the new regime? Give me 49ers. And Monday night, the Dallas Cowboys at New York Giants. Ooh. This is going to be a troubling one for me as well. Cooper Rush isn't bad, but I just don't like the play calling that's going on by Keelan Mond. And Daniel Jones, we still don't have faith in him. With the defense that's been going on with the Giants, that's why I'm going to take Giants. If Dak was healthy, that's a different story. But that secondary with a new coach is looking much better than I thought. Can they hold the Dallas Cowboys to 20, 24 points? I think they could do that, and that's legible. So far, I'm noticing the offensive line is looking better. Saquon Barkley, where if you call his walk year or not, he's looking the Saquon Barkley that the Giants fans have wanted to see for some time. The wide receiver core is set, and no, Kenny Galladay is not in it, but there are a good amount of targets that are spread out. It kind of makes me wonder, though, are the Giants going to be 3-0? Something in my gut tells me yes. Am I crazy? Yeah, you know, probably. But it's football. Look how many blowouts we've seen recently. It's maddening. About that one, I think that wraps it up for at least me on my end. Very interesting matchups. Intriguing scenarios. And what I actually find very interesting is that if you look at the standings, did you know that the teams since 1990 that start off the year 0-2, only less than 12% of them have made the playoffs? Which, granted, if you look in the AFC North, Steelers 1-1, Browns 1-1. We go to Baltimore 1-1. We go to the Bengals 0-2. For the Bengals fans that are disgruntled and are waiting for Joe Burrow and company to come back alive, I voted for the Jets to win this game. But if Joey Ice, Cool Joe, Joe Cool, whatever you call him, if Joe Burrow comes back with that ice in his veins like he did last year, to come back to 1-2, that less than 12% is actually light at the end of the tunnel. Because everyone that's a fan of Cincinnati is waiting for, hey, is Joe Burrow going to get out of this Super Bowl loss hangover and come back to us? Show us the guy that we've hoped for. I think he can do it. But this is the game where he's got to show it. Because if not, we just might be writing him off. And that's all I got. Stay safe, happy, and well, all. This is AJ Torres, and I'm out.
Now you've heard from both of us this week. Thank you all once again for listening, and once again, remember to check us out on Twitter, GuysGabbinGridiron, and on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you once again for listening. We'll see you next time.